A couple of months ago, my wife and I were to a family reunion on her side of the family in eastern Idaho, and there were about 70 in attendance, and of course, not everyone's able to make it because of health or various reasons. They have this reunion every 2 years. It's a big family, a grand family. Grandpa and Grandma, the patriarch and matriarch of this family, immigrated from Europe. They met here in the United States and they married, and they had 15 children. And I do believe they were trying to populate North Dakota all by themselves. They were members of God's church. Grandpa had come to know many of the truths before he came in contact with the church. Some of their children became members as well. But the majority of this extended family, now numbering into the hundreds, have not been called at this time yet. But they know that they are a part of something special, a unique legacy, and they really strive to preserve that, and they highly value it. They are the friendliest, most welcoming, loving, and considerate people to be around. Very jovial, a lot of talking, my can they talk. Laughing, joking, reminiscing about old times, just a lot of fun to be around. They know that they are a part of something special. What are we a part of? And how do we respond to that here at the feast, as well as the rest of the year? I'd like to address that this morning. Please turn to Ephesians 3 to begin with. Ephesians 3, verse 14 and 15. Now, we've used the term family for many years, and we can never, ever let that become ordinary or a cliche. It is not the concept or idea of men. Let's read verse 14 of Ephesians 3. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. And verse 19 says that this is the household of God. Now, this is not referring to the human family of physical human beings reproducing themselves into tribes and nations. This is a spirit entity on a much higher level at the God plane. This has been designed and instituted by God Himself. And this is at the very center of all that God is doing. It is the institution through whom He produces godly seed. It is the very institution whereby He is reproducing Himself through us lowly human beings. This is very, very special. Who belongs to this family? Everyone who is led by the Spirit of God and who do His will. Christ asked a very big question. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who is my true family? All we have to do is look around. God is expanding His very family, and we cannot be content if we don't expand our fellowship as well. Now, we may have our family here, but there are those who don't. We have our circle of friends, and that's wonderful, that's fine. But these, all of these in this room, are a part of that very special family. And all it takes is a simple, hi, how are you? My name is, where are you from? And then ensues what is a wonderful scintillating conversation. And it really doesn't matter what age, just reaching out in that way, because we're family. And what do families do? They look out for one another with great care and consideration. Each one in that family is valuable, important, and necessary, from the newest baby to the oldest person in this room. In midsummer, we had an invitation from a couple in the church to come and visit them at their cabin on this gorgeous lake, and they offered to take us fishing. Of course, We accepted. I mean, I accepted. I love fishing. Now, we had never met them before. I'd had a couple of phone conversations with the husband and some email exchanges, but we really didn't know them, and they didn't know us. When we arrived, we introduced ourselves. They gave us breakfast, and we chatted for some time. And they took us out on the lake, and they acted as guides, barely doing any fishing themselves. They took us to the best spots. They gave us the best hooks to use. Wouldn't let us touch the fish. They unhooked them for us. When we got back to the cabin, they cleaned the fish for us, filleted them, and then they put on a fish fry for us. And it was followed by the most incredible, out of this world, wild blueberry cobbler. I was ready to lay down and dream. Was I in paradise? We were that day. They were the most gracious hosts. These folks did everything that they could possibly think of to serve us and to make our time successful, enjoyable, and pleasant. That's the mind of Christ in action. Before we left, the husband thanked me for taking of our time, sacrificing of our time to come and see them. Sacrifice. It was our good pleasure to be there. And so I said, you know, it's not a sacrifice. You've treated us like royalty. And he said, well, you are. Well, you know, I don't feel like royalty. You know, we don't go around every day, well, I'm royalty. But I knew what he meant. We are God's people. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. Now, Mr. Anderson read this yesterday, but I want to focus on something specifically here. Instead of using the pronoun you, let's just exclude ourselves personally for a minute and put in the pronoun they and look around this room at all the people that are here and realize the hundreds of miracles that took place for God to bring all these people here into his family. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But they are a chosen generation. They are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. They are his own special people. And in verse 10, they are now the people of God. In verse 9, the word royal can mean kingly, of the king, belonging to the king. How do you treat someone who belongs to the king? The king of kings. You treat them very special, royally, like royalty, because they are in God's sight. These very gracious hosts of this lake made us feel like family, like God's family, like royalty. Isn't that what we're here to picture? God's royal family of the future. To celebrate that, to live that, and to embrace that. What about those who are without in the community about us? Who are not a part of this family yet? Who work in the motels and the stores, the restaurants? How do we respond to them? How will they evaluate us? What is the difference between them and us? The difference is just time. Days, weeks, months, years. If Christ were to return in 5 years, then wouldn't that be grand? Then all of these would have access to the tree of life, and they would have access to this family that we are a part of today. Let's turn to John 13. John 13. You know, as that waitress in the restaurant is running her feet off and taking our order, she won't be evaluating us on how much prophecy we know, how much knowledge we have, or whether we can explain every last technical point of doctrine. As important as those things are, John 13 and verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, If you have love for one another, and if we have love to all people, if we're patient, if we're kind, if we're generous, if we're humble and gracious, if we esteem others better than ourselves, if we respect those who are without, esteem them as potential members of God's royal family. Isn't it ironic that as that waitress is serving us, we are celebrating the time when we will be serving her and helping her to become a part of this family if she's not called in this age? What are we a part of? Well, it is something so grand that we can't grasp it all yet. But we know that it is very, very special. We are part of a family, not just any family, but God's very family, His very household. It is a royal family belonging to the King, to the King of Kings, to both the Father and Christ. May we respond to them and one another wholeheartedly at the feast this year.